Hello, my friends. Another week and another sermon on the Beatitudes. Another sermon about the good life. We're on this journey. We've been on it now for 6 weeks of discovering together what does it mean to live the good life? This vision that Jesus offers about the life that is blessed, the life that is full and satisfying. How do we access it? How do we enter into it? This is the journey we've been on, and it continues today. Today we're going to be looking at the sixth beatitude of Jesus. And let me say this about this one. The longer I've sat with it, the more that I've just allowed this truth to sink into my heart, the more powerful this one becomes. There is so much packed into, what's it like, 7 or 8 words? There's so much here, so much wisdom. And what you've noticed probably right from the beginning is Jesus takes the conventional wisdom about the good life, the conventional wisdom of the life that is being sold to us almost at every angle, of every moment of the day. Here's how to buy it, how to walk into it. Jesus flips it all upside down and offers us this alternative vision. This unconventional wisdom, an alternative path to access the good or blessed life. Now today, week 6, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. And here's what Jesus says. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So simple. So simple, yet so profound. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Another way of saying this is they will experience God. This is the promise that Jesus offers. Those who are pure in heart, they will see or experience God. Now, a couple words we need to look at. First, this word heart. When Jesus says heart, what exactly is he talking about? Because in the first century world, the scientific understanding of heart that we have today would have made absolutely no sense for people. So when Jesus talks about the heart, he's talking about something different than that red thing that is pumping blood right here under your chest. The thing that if you're still enough and silent enough, you can feel right here. Heart, for the first century world, the way in which Jesus is talking about heart, it meant your entire inner being. For the biblical people, heart was the center of who you were. It was the center of all your thoughts and convictions. It was the totality of your inner life. I mean, to a certain extent, we metaphorically speak about heart today, do we not? She has so much heart. We're not talking about the fact that she has a really big heart somewhere in her chest. We're talking about the fact that she is really giving, compassionate. When Jesus talks about heart, he's talking about all the thoughts and the feelings, desires, motives. Sort of the reason why you do what you do is captured there inside your heart. It's about your entire inner being. Now, there's a particular type of heart that allows people to experience God, and it's a pure heart. So when Jesus uses this word pure, what is he talking about? Pure, yes, it means cleanliness, but it actually implies something a little bit bigger than just cleanliness. Pure implies wholeness, being of one substance, unmixed, undivided. I have a couple of baby jars here filled with some liquids. First jar, one substance, it's unmixed. It's undivided, it's pure. Display number 2, it's mixed. It's divided. It's not pure. When Jesus talks about having a pure heart, he's talking about living a life that is of one substance, a life that isn't divided, split, moving in opposite directions. See, you have an inner life. It's all the thoughts, the dreams that you carry within you, the things that you think about that no one else knows about. It's that endless chatter that goes back and forth in your mind all day long. That's your inner life. You can keep it hidden. You can keep it private. But then you have an outer life. And your outer life, it's your visible life. It's the life that we can all see. It's the words that you verbalize for us all to hear. It's the things that you do, the rhythms, routines that you have, going to the grocery store, going to work, getting in your car, scrolling through your phone, the conversation that you had with your neighbor this morning. It's the external world. So we have an inner life, and then we have an outer life. Sometimes the inner and the outer, they're in alignment. They're in sync. Other times, the inner and the outer are out of alignment. They're out of sync, and your life feels a bit divided. I mean, think about this. Someone comes up to you and they ask you, how are you? Now, maybe you start thinking about all the things that you're really carrying with you. The problems, the struggles, the coffee that spilled all over the floor first thing in the morning that you had to pick up before you could even get in the shower and get to work, and that's what's making you late this morning. You have all these things that come to mind immediately when someone asks you, how are you doing? But typically we respond, everything's good. Yeah, it's great. Now I understand sometimes that's fine. You have places to go. You don't know this person very well. All right, I get it. But that's just one example of how we can live a life that's divided. There are all these things swirling around within you, these doubts and questions that you have, but on the outside, you have it all under control. Your inner life, you can keep private, while your outer life, you can have a bit more control of. How they see you is a little bit more under your control than what it is that you're carrying deep within your heart. Now, what's really interesting is purity, cleanliness, it was a really big deal in the religious world during the time of Jesus. Religious law, the oral law, actually had about 200 pages of so-called purity laws. Here are all the things that you must do in order to be pure. If you want to earn God's favor, if you want God to bless you, if you want to live the good life, here's a list of all the things you must do and a list of all the things you must not do. And this constituted a lot of the religious teaching in the time of Jesus. It still constitutes a lot of our religious teaching in the world today. Here are all the things you do, and then God's going to be happy with you. And here are all the things you don't do, because if you do these things, God is going to be really, really angry with you. It's a set of externals. But see, what Jesus knows is you can polish up the outside, but if your heart still is lacking purity, then your life is going to feel divided and you're going to miss out on experiencing God. Right before Kit was born, we had discovered that one of the walls in our garage was covered in mold. So we had a couple companies come in, and when they hear that there's mold in the garage, their initial thought is, yeah, all right, buddy. Everyone has mold in the garage. But then all these companies would come in, and they would look at the mold and say, okay, you actually really do have a pretty big mold problem here. So after testing the mold, we finally had a remediation company that we were going to have come in order to fix the problem. Now, the remediation company, they didn't come in and just scrub the wall off. They didn't get some antifungal liquid, some bleach, and just spray it on the wall, get a big sponge, clean it off, and say, all right, your mold problem is gone. That's it. It's over. Instead, they came in with their saws, and they cut away at that entire wall. They took a massive amount of sheetrock off the wall, and they hauled it away in their dumpster because they had to get to the root of the problem. They could have polished and cleaned the outside, and for a couple of days, maybe a couple of weeks, maybe even months, I don't know how long, it would have looked like there was no mold there. But yet under the surface, the mold was still growing and it was spreading. See, for Jesus, He's not all about cleaning up your external life. Sure, you may make yourself look good for other people. You may think you're fooling God because you're doing all the right things and not doing all the wrong things. But to Jesus, it was about something deeper. It was about the heart. Because it's in our hearts, the inner world that we all possess, where true transformation happens. A little bit later in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has this whole list that he runs through. And he says, I know you've heard that you're not to murder, but I tell you this, if you hold anger in your heart against your brother, you've essentially committed murder. I know you've all heard, do not commit adultery. But if you even look lustfully, if you hold lust in your heart, it's as if you are committing adultery. For Jesus, it was all about the heart. Yeah, it was all about the inner life, because Jesus knew, clean up the inner life, work on the inner life, and the externals would follow. Then it wouldn't be so much about following all sorts of rules, because you would just naturally be becoming the type of person that lives the life that is pleasing to God, a life that is true to the person that God has created you to be. It's a life that is whole, a life that is pure, of one substance and not divided. A life where your heart and your hands are moving in the same direction. Now this morning, I want to give you two ways to become more pure in heart. Here's the first way. Own it. Own it. All right, what do I mean by that? See, we all have things about ourselves that we wish weren't true. We all have regrets, pain, shame, moments we wish we could take back. So what do you do when you're reminded of the regrets? When you're reminded of where you've been? What do you do when you're tempted to just gloss over them, forget them, deny them, pretend like they're not there? You own them. You acknowledge all of it as belonging to your story. This is who I am. Scars, wounds, warts, and all. The pure in heart embrace their entire story. It doesn't mean that you have to like it all, but you embrace it all as yours. One of my all-time favorite movies is the movie Silver Linings Playbook. And when you have a movie with Jennifer Lawrence and my favorite, Bradley Cooper, I mean, how can you go wrong? You can't. This movie, absolutely brilliant. And the movie centers on these two characters, Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper, and they have gone through quite a bit in their lives. And the movie picks up where they're trying to make sense of where they are. They're trying to make sense of their past and how they can move forward from their past. Bradley Cooper has just been released from a mental institution because he had been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Jennifer Lawrence had gone through a really messy divorce and became an addict as a way to cope with it all. So the two of them are wrestling with their demons, you could say. They're trying to move forward. And there is one scene in the movie that might be the best scene in the entire movie. But I think any scene where Bradley Cooper is running around the neighborhood with his garbage bag over his chest, just hysterical. And here he is running around the neighborhood, garbage bag, and Jennifer Lawrence starts jogging right alongside next to him. He looks at her and he's like, what are you doing here? This is my neighborhood. You can't be jogging here. She says, well, this is my neighborhood too. These are my streets. I can jog here if I want to. So they go back and forth yelling at each other for a while. Finally, she escapes. She runs down a different path. He thinks he's evaded her, but then he hears footsteps. He turns around, there she is. So he's really annoyed at this point. He slows down a bit and he says, you are, and he just lays into her with this giant insult, bringing up a part of her painful past. And it just knocks the wind out of her completely, and she just barrels over, grabbing her knees. And now he knows that he's just landed a blow that's going to cause some pain. So he stops, turns. He's on his way to apologize, but she gets up. She looks at him and she says, yeah, that was me. And there's always going to be a part of me that's dirty and sloppy. I like that about myself. Can you say the same about you? Can you forgive yourself? Are you any good at that? And she gets up, walks away, while he's just standing there, taking in all that she's just said to him. It's probably the most powerful scene in the entire movie. Can you forgive yourself? Are you any good at that? Own it. Own it. Yeah, there's always going to be parts of me that are dirty and messy. You own it. Yeah, the pure in heart own and acknowledge their entire story. They don't shove it to the side, pretend it's not there, but they embrace it all and say, this is who I am. And then a second way to become more pure in heart, dance your inner melody. We're all tempted from time to time to become a little bit more like him or like her. We look at their life and we think, oh, they must be living the good life. If I could be a little bit more like them, if I could do the things that they do, have the things that they have, if I could have their life or even a portion of their life, then I would be living the good life. Or have you ever been tempted to walk down a path that someone else wants you to walk? There's an authority figure. There's all this external pressure from someone saying, this is the path for you. This is what you must do. And you know it's not the right path for you, but they have so much influence on you and they're squeezing you down the path that they want you to take. Yeah, the pure in heart, they dance to their own inner melody. They've come to discover their own unique song and they dance to that song. A couple years ago, my friend told me about a cruise that he had gone on. And one evening they had a silent dance party, which sounds like a really bizarre idea. What happens is for this dance party, you would walk into the room and everyone would be dancing. But the thing about it is there would be no fist pumping music blaring through the speakers. Instead, it was silent. Probably the only thing that you could hear were people's sneakers scuffing along the floor. What everyone was doing is they had their own music that they were listening to. They had their own headphones or their own earbuds connected to their phone. And they were choosing the song that they were listening to. They weren't listening to one song for the entire crowd. There wasn't one song playing for everyone to dance to, but rather everyone was dancing to their own unique song. The pure in heart realize that they have their own unique path to walk. They are their own unique expression of what it means to be human. And the only way that you will ever access the good life is for you to discover and walk your own path. The pure in heart listen to the song their soul is singing, and they dance to that melody. They find their own groove so they can give their unique gift to the world. So whenever you're tempted to become a little bit more like her, or to walk the path that they're all pushing you down, remember, dance your own inner melody. Don't put their headphones on. Grab your own headphones, find your own song, and dance to that beat. Yeah, the pure in heart, they walk their own path. As they own their story, they become more comfortable with who they are and more confident in the story that their life is telling. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will experience God. This week, may you experience God in fresh ways. May you become more pure in heart as you own your entire story. If there's any parts of your story that you've been running from, may you own them. If you have to forgive yourself, may you begin that process this week. May you not gloss over or hide or pretend any longer, but may you acknowledge all of it. Bring it all together. And as you do so, may you discover your own melody, and may you dance to that beat so that you can live a life that is pure and of one substance, so that you can live the good life. And by living this life, you will come to see and experience the fullness of God. Grace and peace with you this week, my friends.